it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Have the latest Cowboys news coming up here for you in 20 minutes. Joining us now, Giants beat writer Pat Leonard, New York Daily News, host of the Talkin' Ball podcast on YouTube. And a good afternoon, Pat. Thanks for joining us here on the Home of the Cowboys. How are you?
You got it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is terrific to have you here just a few days before the game. Are you disappointed we aren't seeing Jackson Dart already?
Yes, I am. I think the Giants' offense would look better with Dart in. I'm not saying he would fix everything, but I think if you look at, let's say, the Minnesota Vikings with J.J. McCarthy and the way that that can inject some life into a team, into a franchise, I think Dart has the ability and the moxie to do that. And I think the Giants are playing with fire with maybe losing their season before he enters if they continue to wait with Russell Wilson in a starter.
Do you think we could see him at halftime of as early as this game?
Yes, I do. I know Brian Daboll has full confidence in Dart. He wouldn't have him as the number two dressed on game day ahead of Jameis Winston if he didn't. And I honestly believe that his mobility, his toughness, and for a young quarterback, it's rare to see this, but he does keep his eyes down the field even when the pocket starts collapsing. Like, he can get out and run, but he's not just going to bail and abandon the play. Like, he does have an arm, and he's going to stand in there and take a hit to make a play. So, you know, I think that there's a chance that we do see him in this game if Wilson has a similar first half that they did against the Commanders.
We were just going through and discussing that Giants offensive line, and man, they have spent some resources trying to finally figure that out. I mean, how's this 2025 version looking?
It's a lot of the same, which is a bad thing for the Giants. Andrew Thomas, their franchise left tackle, doesn't look like he's going to play again in this game. That's not definite. It just seems like it's trending in that direction. Now, he sat out the first game. He sat out yesterday's practice, padded practice. He was on the field today working and doing some team reps, so there is a chance. But it doesn't appear he will make his season debut. We wait and see on that. But even if he does replace James Hudson in the lineup at left tackle, the interior has really struggled. Jermaine Illuminor, their right tackle, has been imperfect as well. Really, they're just running back the offensive line for the most part from one of the league's worst offenses last year. And I think the biggest concern would be the Cowboys' D-line, you know, held their own against one of the better offensive lines in the league last week. The Giants' offensive line, though, they couldn't even handle a Commanders' defensive line that doesn't have a star on it. They don't have a player that commands a double team. So that's concerning going into this game for the Giants.
What's the status of Malik Nabers right now? Is he frustrated? What's the deal?
He definitely got a talking to after that game because he came out yesterday and was all smiles, was joking about his behavior. And he did acknowledge he has to show his frustration in a better way, to be more constructive, to be more one-on-one rather than yelling on the sideline, things like that. But he's fiery. The problem is Daboll has given him carte blanche as a 22-year-old. Rather than it being very structured, Nabers can kind of just do whatever he wants, and they put all that trust in him. That's good if things are going well, but when things are going poorly and then you need to apply more structure and be more strict as a coach with that player, it's kind of hard to put it back in the box, you know? So he declined to answer a question about the Giants' futility over the years against the Cowboys. So even though he put on a smiling face, by the end of it, kind of that sour taste of how bad the Giants have been, you could see that kind of come back across his face.
Hey, Pat, taking a look at the Giants tape against the Commanders, it appeared they were trying to do things to get Carter, Thibodeau, and Burns on the field all at the same time. Is this something that we're going to maybe see more of, or is this something that they're just kind of still trying to find some combinations within their defensive line?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, so they were on the field 9 times together in the first game. The drawback of it for the Giants is that you become a much lighter defense if they're all 3 of those guys are on the D line and on the front. So it's easier to run the ball against that front. So you're trying to do that maybe in third down packages. Then again, that does become a little bit predictable. The thing to look for in this game to me is they just lost one of their 2 starting inside linebackers, Micah McFadden, to a long-term right foot injury. Yeah. And they lost one of their backups, Demetrius Flanagan Foles, to a calf injury. He got hurt in practice yesterday. He may miss this game too. I think we may see a lot more Abdul Carter as an off-ball linebacker in this game. You know, maybe he played 5 of his 38 defensive snaps there last game and 33 on the line. I think you could see him more off the ball, which is originally his position at Penn State before he switched to edge rusher. I was actually talking to him about that today, how he could end up being the versatile star Penn State pass rusher in Dallas. You know, that was Micah Parsons for years, but now it could be Abdul Carter's turn. His eyes kind of lit up. I think he's excited to try to show the world what he can do there.
It's Pat Leonard, Giants beat writer, here with you on The Fan. What has just stopped this organization overall? What's the big picture over the last 14 years of failure?
I think it is ownership and the front office's inability to self-evaluate. I believe that the Giants, they're the kind of team that when they draft, if they need a corner and they draft a corner, they put a green check mark next to it on their whiteboard and they say, okay, we got that fixed and figured out. And, you know, in the modern NFL, that's just it's not how you can think. You can't be married to your previous evaluations. You have to evolve. Certainly their mistake at quarterback in running Eli Manning a couple years too long set them back. And really, over the course of Joe Shane's tenure, coming off of a lot of bad personnel decisions under Dave Gettleman's leadership, Joe Shane's drafts just haven't been good enough. And so they wanted to be a draft and develop and then supplement through free agency team, but they've become the opposite. They've become a team that hasn't filled enough holes with the draft, so they've had to sign and patchwork it with free agents. And now they're in a position in year 4 of this regime where they're hoping for better results from their homegrown talent, but you can't just magically snap your fingers. John Mara and ownership, they're trying to now give more patience to this regime after firing 3 consecutive head coaches in Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur, and Joe Judge, either during or after their second season. So that's part of the reason, one of the main reasons, Brian Daboll is still here in year 4. But you shouldn't also stick with something if it's not working. So if you like the process off the field, but on the field you're not winning games, you guys know sooner or later in the NFL, it's time for a change.
With the Giants putting up 6 points on opening day and watching Daniel Jones just go off for Indy, what was the reaction amongst New York fans with that debacle on week 1?
Yeah, that's a really good question. A lot of disgust, a lot of frustration, because this is now a trend of whether it's Xavier McKinney to the Packers, Julian Love to the Seahawks, Saquon Barkley to the Eagles leading the way, Daniel Jones, even Evan Engram having new life at tight end down in Jacksonville, consistently through all these years of futility that you referenced. Now, especially recently, the Giants are not only mis-evaluating their own roster, but then when they let these guys go, they're going and flourishing at these other stops. And obviously the Saquon situation was embarrassing and couldn't have gone worse, but they actually gave Daniel Jones a 4-year, $160 million contract and then reneged on it after 2 years. If he's going to star and have a second coming like Sam Darnold did in Minnesota and Indianapolis, you know, Giants fans know what that means. It instills even less trust in the decision makers that are running the show now.
Hey, Pat, it looked like to me in the secondary with the stuff with the corners with Paulson Adebo, and he was traveling with McLaurin. How do you feel that they're going to play the secondary this week? And are they going to pick either Lamb or Pickens to travel, or is it just, no, we're gonna just try and play this thing pretty straight up?
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I would guess that CD would get Adebo, and they would try to consistently keep safety help over top of both, honestly, but
sure,
definitely maybe with the double over Pickens And then sometimes it's a Debo one-on-one with Lamb. But, you know, that's dangerous. I mean, it's not showing up on the stat sheet, but a Debo did get beaten by Terry McLaurin in one-on-one coverage with no safety help for what should have been like a 60-yard touchdown. And Jaden Daniels missed it by like 3 yards over top of McLaurin's head.
Right.
So I would say there's nothing perfect the Giants can do to stop this passing attack. They just desperately need their D-line and their pressure to get to Dak.
Sure.
Because there were a lot of holes in their zone down the field for the Commanders in that first game. Their coverage was not good enough, and it could have been a lot worse, but the Commanders dropped, I believe, 5 passes, and I believe all of them were like 10, 12, 20, 25 yards down the field, like in windows, open, wide open, some of them catch and run. So I think the Cowboys are going to score points in this game. I think it's just about whether the Giants can score points to match them. The one other thing on defense I would say, Dexter Lawrence took a lot longer than the Giants advertised during the offseason to get into full practice shape or full practice reps from a dislocated elbow that he actually sustained in Dallas late last season. He is not back to his full former self. He's not in the same playing shape he is when he's top level. And he was very quiet in the first game against Washington. Now, they doubled him almost 70% of the time when he was on the field. But he breaks through double teams. He's a game wrecker. And if he doesn't turn into his typical self in this game, then this game's not going to be close.
Pat Leonard with us here on 105.3 The Fan, Giants beat writer. One player that I'm a little bit nervous about offensively for the Giants, we know how good Malik Nabers is. With the Cowboys corner situation, what can you tell us about Wandale Robinson?
Yeah, so he was a huge part of their...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Game plan both in kick return and which is new this year, and as he's the catch and run guy now, Nabers can do that too and is the most dangerous no matter where you're getting him the ball. But there was a lot of focus in week one against Washington about getting the ball to Wandale Robinson out the boundary at the boundaries and having him make guys miss at the line of scrimmage. Now he had minimal success with that. He had one or two plays that worked out largely. I would say he's a quick player, but not extremely fast. So, like, he's a Jaden Reed light, you know, if you want to use, like, the Packers wide receiver. So they like him. They think he's a playmaker, but he is undersized. He was out of practice yesterday with an ankle. He was back today, though, so he will be playing in the game. But I think the player to look for to be more involved would be Darius Slayton down the field. The Giants spent all offseason talking about how they needed to be more explosive, and they really didn't push the ball down the field much at all against Washington. If they did, it was to Nabers, and it was pretty predictable. So I think they're going to try to push the ball down the field more to a guy like Slayton. And it'll be interesting to see if they can buy time for Wilson to do that. Their O-line was dreadful against Washington, and I actually think the key to this game is whether the Giants can run the ball on Eberflus's defense to open that up down the field. They were 15 carries for 30 yards for their running backs against Washington. So not a lot of good signs in week one, but they have to establish that against this Dallas front. And if they do, then maybe they take advantage of that secondary without De'Ron Bland.
Does anyone on the Giants care less about their own physical health than Cam Scataboo?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, you draft a player like that because he has that in him, but then you are both excited if he injects life into the team with a battering ram run or hit, but then you also want him to be on the field for the next play too, right? It's like when they drafted Jackson Dart even, Joe Shane mentioned that he didn't love seeing him lower his head into a linebacker at the Senior Bowl. And you know, so that's something you worry about from a health standpoint if you're the Giants, but that's also the type of player that they've been trying to add. You know, even Hudson, the left tackle, not a great player, but he's nasty. Cam Scadaboo is a nasty runner in a good way. Jackson Dart even is like that, like a physical guy. He tried to take guys on down the field in the preseason and take a hit rather than just slide down. So, yeah, Scadaboo, they want to get him more involved. They used him in the red zone in the game last week, and it didn't work out. But like you said, he did show enough physicality that you can see what Dable's trying to establish with him.
Pat, it seems like the Giants were in like a win-now mindset throughout the spring and going into the draft. I'd be curious to why they thought that way, and then, you know, what realistic success would look like for them with the 16 games left on the schedule.
Well, they're in year four of their regime, so year one, they exceeded expectations, made the playoffs, won a playoff game. Year two, because of exceeding expectations, they stopped going on the long-term rebuild track, and they said, you know, we're back, let's go, we think we can do it. And they tried to load up for 2023, and they fell on their face at 6-11. And then last year was a total disaster at 3-14. So now it's kind of like, yeah, you'd love to say we're a young rebuilding team, let's look to the future, but they have to keep at least 1 foot, if not more, in the win now pool, because this has been four seasons now of drafting and supposedly developing and building your own culture and team. I do agree with you on one thing. How can you, let's say they want to go through four or five games of Wilson before Dart comes in. Even if you thought you could win now this year, you got to put the kid in, even if it means living with more pain. At least you have the optimism, if he looks good, of the future. But if you put all your eggs in the basket of our team this year is good and they continue to play the way they did Sunday, then everybody gets fired. But that's what I think is I just think they're at a point now. John Mara, the owner, said his patience is running thin. He does seem to have more patience with the general manager, Joe Shane, than he does with Brian Daboll. So I would say both seats are hot, but the coaches is hotter. How do they fare the rest of the season? They got the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football in their home opener in week three, the Chargers and Justin Herbert, who looked fabulous in week one and week four. And then after going to the Saints in week five, they've got two meetings with the Eagles and the Broncos. So really, if they don't just suddenly turn into a different team, this is going to be a really ugly season, and they're going to be in the coaching and maybe GM carousel at the end of the year.
Hey, Pat, real quick on this, though. You're probably looking at a situation where is the head coach interested in developing a quarterback for somebody else?
That's a great point. And that's – so last year when they lost their first two games, I caught some heat on social media for asking Dable about his job security at 0-2.
Right.
And the reason I asked that question then, though, was because I had information that if they slid to 0-3, 0-4, 0-5, he could legit just get fired right then and there. And he won two of those first five games against Cleveland and Seattle. And even though they finished 3-14, it just – it stemmed the tide. It bought him enough time to get to this season. This year, the question of Dart, it makes the water murky about when Dable actually loses his job if it continues to go this way. Because to your point, it's like, how does the young quarterback factor into this? Does Dable buy more time by waiting to put the kid in and then get to 2026 regardless of the record because Dart looks good late in a lost season?
Right.
Or does he need Dart to come in early enough before you're 0-6 or 0-5 or whatever to buy you the time down the stretch of this season and into 26. I don't even know if Dable knows the answer to that. What I do know is that he has accelerated, because Dart has accepted and handled it well, the process of getting him close to the field. You guys remember Eli Manning, Daniel Jones, 2019, you know, Jones goes in week one in garbage time in Dallas and takes over for Eli a couple weeks later. I think it's going to look very similar here with Wilson and Dart.
You can watch Pat Leonard on YouTube, the Talking Ball podcast. Read him in the New York Daily News. Really good stuff, man. Thank you so much for it.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There he goes, Pat Leonard, talking Giants with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Kickoff Sunday at noon. We're in bottom five in Toronto. The Blue Jays lead the Astros 4-0. So Rangers halfway to making up a half game here on their day off of Houston. Currently 2.5 up in the West, 1.5 back in the wild card. The Rangers are of the Mariners. Okay, we got the C-note coming up next here, the Cowboys news of the evening. We'll reset why the Cowboys did not sign Jadeveon Clowney and give you the rest of the day in Cowboys news coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation, the fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the fan. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. It's the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas, the Frankels. Go online at frankelfirm.com. We have to reset a little breaking news brought us had for us about 45 minutes ago. The Cowboys had Jadeveon Clowney in yesterday. They did a physical, and what happened after the physical, Brian?
Yeah, they were interested in signing him, but the player decided that that he wanted to wait. So here we are right now. We'll see. Maybe he's got some other things that – maybe some other teams in mind. Maybe I didn't hear anything about, you know, money or anything like that being a factor. But you know, it was that was the player's decision, and the Cowboys were interested. But he said, "Well, I'll just wait." And you know, maybe every once in a while you go on these visits, and all of a sudden other teams get wind of it, and then they call the agent, and they're saying, "Hey, well, you guys are going to Dallas? You got to sign there?"
Hmm.
You know, and then it, maybe there's a text message that gets to the player. Hey, got a call from Baltimore. Got a call from San Francisco. Got a call. You know,
also the Eagles are interested.
Yeah, you just, you know, and then the player, and all of a sudden says, well, you know, okay, well, let's wait and see, kind of a thing. But this was a player decision, not a Cowboy decision.
So the Cowboys were trying to work directly with the player, and the agent intervened?
I know. I think they were working with the agent on this one, but the agent probably – I'm just saying, if sometimes players get information from their agents while they're on visits and to say, hey, let's not sign here yet. You know,
yeah.
Let's – I'm just putting that out there. I'm not saying it actually happened in this case. But talk to a couple different people in the Cowboys organization. They wanted to get this one done.
Well, even if they don't get him, I like this. Okay, we just had Pat Leonard on from the New York Daily News.
He's a good interview, by the way.
That was great. And you can see why he's had such success. Young guy.
Yeah.
You know, but we asked him what happened with the Giants over the last 14 years. And he went to their messing up, evaluating their own guys. And when they don't have hits, they still put a green check mark next to the name. Mm-hmm. And the text lit up with people saying, man, he just described what's been wrong with the Cowboys. Mm. And I agree with that. But I also think that times have changed. And I think they might have been like that because Mike McCarthy wanted to stay with his guys. And maybe Jason Garrett just couldn't thread the needle convincing the team. But I think this is a sign that we're like, no, this isn't good enough. I know we drafted Ezeraku. I know we have Sam Williams. And you just signed Dante Fowler. But it wasn't good enough. We need to be stronger.
I think this is the last 15 years from the Cowboys, though, too.
What's that?
That the same thing, what you're talking about.
I think
I think you're absolutely right. I think the end of the Jason Garrett administration, the biggest problem you have is when you can't evaluate your own team.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to evaluate other teams when you can't evaluate your own? And, you know, if you're a draft and develop team, that's, you know, this could very well be where Stephen Jones working for Bill Parcells or working with Bill Parcells started thinking about the draft and develop model because the Giants have always been that way. Mm-hmm. You know, the Giants have these tests and stuff, these personality tests at the combine that they used to give. And they had really limited flexibility in their scouting department. That's why they bring in a guy like Dave Gettleman, you know, because he was a long time and they wanted to get back to that way of scouting that they've always had. This draft and development stuff, now you really kind of think about it, maybe this is where Stephen Jones got it from Bill Parcells way back in the day, but kind of like, hey, maybe this is the best route to go for us. And
it's glorious.
Free agents and stuff like that.
It's just amazing how bad New York has become.
Bad.
I mean, they had it dialed when it was Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin.
Tom Coughlin, yeah,
absolutely. And since Jerry Reese is gone, I mean, they have not been able to replace that GM and get it right. But I'm with you on the Clowney stuff. I mean, that makes me feel good as a Cowboy fan. The one question that I have is corner. And I wonder, you know, we'll see. Hopefully this Bland thing isn't, you know, Brian, you had an outstanding report yesterday about it. And hopefully it's not something that lingers throughout the season.
Yeah.
But how can you not be nervous right now about your cornerback room? I mean, Reddy Stewart, maybe he comes out and plays awesome. But you've got a ton of unknown. And that's a position that they just seem like we're not worried.
And Kyrie Williams is a starter now. You know, so I do think there's the possibility that broken coverage happens and you find yourself in a dogfight against the Giants if you can't get your offense going. We'll get to Jake Ferguson's thoughts on everything coming up in a couple of hours. The Jake Ferguson Show. Most Thursdays here in the G-Bag Nation, and unless it's a game day, but he's scheduled to join us coming up at 5:20 today. NFL's fined Tyler Guyton $12,172 for that. What was that? A head slap? A haymaker
left
to the helmet?
Come on, he's just working on his punching.
They called it
Tyron Smith.
Right?
I guess all about the punch.
Tyron told him you got to be able to punch through anything. He just failed to mention don't hit him in the head. Make sure it's below the neck when you're punching through his body. Like a kung fu hero, but it did not draw a penalty flag. Some theorize that Guyton's open hand as he swung his left arm likely made the move a failed shove block as opposed to a deliberate punch, but the NFL did not see it that way.
He was trying to shove him up the field is what he was trying to do. There's only one guy that could do it that well, and he no longer plays in the league. Tyron Smith.
That guy would stop you in your tracks. I'm surprised he wasn't breaking ribs and collapsing solar plexus.
He knew exactly where to get that defender running the way he was, and then it just kind of says, okay, I'm just going to shove you completely up the field now.
All righty, G-Bag Nation. C-Note every afternoon at 3:20. This one just a little bit short because we had Pat Leonard on. If you want to go back and get maybe one of the best Giant preview interviews you can get, that was at the top of the hour. We're coming on back with Krusty's Corner here with Brian Broaddus. Buddy, what are we doing today?
Yeah, we're going to talk about this New York Giant defense. We'll do that next.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a good day. Rangers are off today. We're scoreboard watching. We're now top seven. The Astros still getting blanked up there in Toronto. It's 4-0 Blue Jays. If this score holds, the Rangers would be two games back of the division going into tomorrow night's game with Jacob DeGrom on the heel.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hill at Citi Field there in New York. Okay, it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king of the Krusty's, Brian.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate that. This Giant team is, the Giant defense is an interesting watch just because of the young players they have. And I don't know what direction they're going to go with their secondary, and that's kind of why I was asking Pat about that because of the way they were playing their corners. I asked somebody in the Giants about this real quick because Deontay the Banks, the first-round pick from
Maryland.
Yep. He was drafted in the first round of the 2023 draft. I was wondering, like, watching tape where he was. And he was listed as a starter, and then I didn't see him. And Cordell Flott was playing in his place. And I was going, man, I wonder where Banks is. I was wondering, he's hurt. And I asked my guy from the Giants. He said, no, man, they had a competition.
And Flott beat him out?
Flott beat him out.
Gosh, CeeDee, I think, toasted Flott last year when he had to come in.
That's kind of where I was thinking. That's why I asked the question about the corners and how they were playing and stuff. And Adebo, he's Paulson Adebo. We've seen him before with the Saints. And he's now the corner in with the Giants. And he did. He traveled with Terry McLaurin in that game pretty extensively. And then they tried to play the other side with Flott. And Drew Phillips is their nickel guy.
Is that the Stanford kid?
Which one? Adebo Paulson?
Phillips.
Kentucky, I thought.
Okay. There was two tiny corners that we had 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And Drew Phillips was the Kentucky kid.
Yeah, third round pick out of Kentucky is where he was. So he's your nickel. So I'm trying to figure this thing out and how they're going to potentially play because they kind of were rotating some guys in and out of the lineups. But if I'm the Cowboys, Dawson, I'm going after Flott in this one. And I honestly, I don't know why. I mean, they're telling me, He beat the guy out, but man, that seems like to me that's a green light special right there.
I love it.
With the way that he was playing. And
now, do you think a Debo's good? Do you avoid a Debo?
I think he's pretty. He's very competitive in the way that he plays. He's very the way he goes about. He's going to drive on more balls. He's going to be around the ball. He's going to defend the ball better.
He lacks the deep speed.
Yeah, the deep speed's a problem.
He doesn't run well.
Cough there for a second.
Pickens, I think, could get him down the field.
Yeah, that's the thing. And Pat was right. McLaurin got him one time too, having to carry him down the sidelines, and it should have been a touchdown. And Daniels overthrew the pass, but his around the line of scrimmage, his ability to stay with, as far as like initially, and then there comes to be a little bit of separation. But I think there's more separation with Flott in the way that he plays, especially when routes go to the inside. That's my big thing. If you follow me for a while, if a corner could carry a receiver inside and make plays and not have separation, but with this guy, there's separation there. So that secondary could be under siege a little bit there. Now, I kind of feel like you should try and run the ball at this team. And I'm not saying run the ball specifically, run inside. But I think Dallas is equipped to handle Dexter Lawrence. Pat was right about that. He was doubled the majority of this game. And what makes him hard to block, it's not the size. It's how close he plays to the ball. And when he gets right up on the line of scrimmage and he gets a really wide base and he doesn't give you any ability to fire into him to get movement. I mean, when you watch blockers, and I'm just over the years, I'm like, what makes this guy so tough? Yeah, he's strong, but he plays so tight to the line of scrimmage, you can't come off the ball and get into him and get any momentum to push him. And that's why he gets so many double teams, is because he's able just to kind of anchor down there and he stalemates blockers, and then they try and push on him and he's really not going anywhere. And that's because he didn't play off the ball. He's just right there. I mean, he literally is breathing the same air as the center when you watch him play. So this will be a tough
one. Does he have help inside with other big guys? Nunez Roaches or Robertson Harris?
Yeah, the thing with Nunez Roaches, more of a kind of a three technique guy.
Kind of a burnout.
Yeah, kind of not like the big, they've had big guys up there before.
Yeah.
Who's the guy the Cowboys had? I can't remember.
Hankins.
Jonathan
Hankins, and then
somebody else.
Gosh, they had another.
I'm drawing a blank on that. I hate.
There's another H I want to say. I'll find that. I'm going to figure this out.
But see, that's the thing about it is that this Lawrence, he's just so hard to move because I just don't think he gives you much of a space at all. He doesn't give you any ability to fire into him and push.
So you were saying you don't run in them up the middle?
I would say the double teams might be okay on him to run off those, but he's not going to get what you don't want him to do is to penetrate and then to cause, because Dallas seems to now be interested in pulling guys and trying to trap and lead and counters and stuff.
Got a big run off that, didn't they?
Some midline stuff, yeah. What was really interesting was, and this was, I didn't know this. When you're watching the tape, you kind of see it, but I didn't know this, that when you're in a situation, Dallas in this game, and it was just a metric that I looked at, I'm like, okay, Dallas did what? They had success in the shotgun running the football. And what they did was they had 9 designed runs out of shotgun formations that resulted in 84 yards and a score in week 1 against Philadelphia. That was 9.3 yards a carry on designed shotgun runs. Okay, here's the kicker for you. The matchup, the Giants defense surrendered 111 yards and a touchdown across 15 designed runs out of the shotgun against the Commanders. So that was the most such yards allowed by any team's defense in week 1 off design runs. So Cowboys had some success against the Eagles. We're kind of like going, oh, well, maybe they shouldn't try and run the ball. And all of a sudden they're in the shotgun and running the football. So
Sounds like a game where you try to run it 30, 40 times.
I think this is a game where you absolutely try and run it. And where I would run it is I would try and go after these on these edges is what I would do. I'm not interested in all of a sudden just keep dropping back.
No. That's how you could lose.
Yeah, and dropping back and throwing the ball and then letting Burns and Carter and Thibodeau rush the passer.
How do you think they're going to do against Steele and Guyton? Just tally up 10 pressures?
I think the one you need to worry about, I think, more than any other is probably going to be Steele in this one. Because of Thibodeau to that side. Thibodeau has done a lot better as a pass rusher than he has in his career. There's been times where he's kind of like been labeled as a, man, what's wrong with this guy? High draft pick, just hadn't done anything. But he's kind of figured out some things as a pass rusher here. And
where's Burns coming from? Because I think he had 2 sacks against Washington.
Burns is they flip sides. So what happens is you could get him playing left and right. And then what they were doing with Carter, they were bringing Carter in on third down. Mm. Well, now with some of the problems that they're having with their linebacking core, this Darius Marisau.
He was linebacker.
Yeah, he was a struggle bus.
He was really struggling in that game.
Losing Micah McFadden for them is huge in the run game and the pass game.
And you're absolutely right about both. You're absolutely right about that both. So, you know, like I say, Pat was talking about the possibility of using Abdul Carter as an off-ball linebacker. Well, they had some snaps where Carter was playing off-ball. And they also had some snaps where Burns was playing off-ball linebacker.
That's advantage Cowboys. You're telling me that Brian Burns and Abdul Carter are not going to be getting after the quarterback on any particular play, I'll take my chances.
I wonder if they're going to play him off-ball, but attack him like what the Cowboys used to do with Micah.
Just blitzing him.
Blitzing him.
I mean, you could do that.
Yeah. So, to me, this is the strength of this Giant defense, in my opinion, is those pass rushers. The thing that's a little bit of a liability is their secondary. And me personally, I would run at their edges more so than I would run inside is how I would try and play this game this week.
After looking at both of them, what's your early prediction if we wanted to go a day early? Do you think the Cowboys cover that 4.5?
I think the Cowboys will be okay in this game. I do. The thing, as long as Russell Wilson's starting for the Giants in this game. Now, if they go to Jackson Dart, I agree again with Pat. I think that might give them a little lift.
You think that's a win now move?
I think that's a win now move because they think the ball will go down the field. I don't think Russell Wilson wants to throw the ball in the middle of the field. And that's where,
Neighbors and
Robinson and those guys kind of make some plays. But I think Dallas, if in fact Cordell Flott is playing as one of the starting corners, that's the guy I try and attack. I take that back. I don't think he was as worse as what you had last week.
With Adoree Jackson. He's not good.
But it's very similar. It's very, very similar to how things need to be played.
G-Men, one of the worst 5 teams in the league?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
I think the Cowboys are going to crush them.
Do you really?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they have matchups that I think are beneficial to the Cowboys' offense across the board. Like, I don't think they're going to be able to cover Lamon Pickens. And then you don't even factor in what Ferguson possibly
can you protect,
do.
Though? That's the thing about it is.
I think they can protect long enough, yeah. I think they'll be okay.
I was reading a fantasy preview, and they love Pickens against, it's a Debo, Paulson Adebo.
Yeah.
Debo can't run downfield.
That's the problem with him. Can I say something real quick here?
Yeah.
Just real quick in this thing? This is something that I pulled that I hate to nerd out on you, but I did it for my show this morning. I brought this up. The matchup they say to watch is Cowboys wide receivers versus off coverage. Mm-hmm. And I brought this up because they said this, and tell me if you guys realize this. The Cowboys wide receiver recorded the 5th lowest catch rate, 61%, and an average of league low of 6.4 yards per target when facing off coverage. That's 5 or more yards of cushion last season. Notably, CeeDee Lamb averaged 1.6 yards per route when facing off coverage. That was his lowest mark in a season since his rookie year of 2020, where he was at 1.5. The offseason acquisition of George Pickens' career average a career high in yards per target, 9.1, and yards per route, 2.3, versus off coverage in 2024. He's a better off coverage wide receiver than Lamb. I kind of felt like that Lamb, you know, I didn't feel like that his number was that low. Mm-mm. But here's the matchup. The Giants' defense aligned with their cornerbacks in off coverage on 69% of the snaps last season. That's the fourth highest rate in the NFL. If you're the Giants, would you consider pressing these Cowboy wide receivers? And especially, would you consider playing off coverage and seeing if to make sure you take care of Lamb in this game?
Yeah, I think they got to try and do what the Cowboys did last week with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith play more zone.
Yeah, so if that's the case, then maybe this is a game for George Pickens. If there's a lot of off coverage,
I can definitely see it
in this game.
Great stuff, Brian.
Thank you.
I love it. Okay, we got two down, three to go here. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. Rangers are off tonight. We continue to monitor the events in Toronto. It's now middle of eight, and the Blue Jays are winning a 4-0 against your division-leading Astros, but that might get tightened up by a half game here by the end of the next hour. What are we doing next, Chief?
Sounds of the Sports Day featuring Mikey Francesa, Jerry Jones, and Fan After Dark next in the nation.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.